like, I really feel honored to take this opportunity to present a local perspective and provide some insight into our application of MAP and how we use that to develop a system-focused plan for health improvement in our jurisdiction. I'd first like to I already went through that slide. I'd like to thank my colleagues at Cook County Department of Public Health, the members of our We Plan 2015 Steering Committee who worked alongside and with me to develop this plan and plan for this process. In addition, the We Plan 2015 Community Planning Committee, which was a broad coalition of about 50 individuals from within the health department as well as across the jurisdiction from a broad range of sectors, and I'll talk about them in a moment. So in this presentation, I'd like to discuss and review the challenges experienced with using MAP in 2005. I would also discuss our vision and strategy for the approach and planning that we undertook in 2010 and some of the changes that we made, outline modifications we made in the MAP process to meet our needs, as a result, as a QI measure for what we went on in 2005, and finally, I present some outcomes of the process and lessons learned. So Cook County Department of Public Health has had fairly extensive experience in community health planning. In Illinois, we're required as a local health department to conduct a community assessment and plan for recertification every 5 years. The name of this process is called IPLAN. It was codified based on the APEX model. And we've been conducting these essentially every 5 years. We had a slight hiatus in the mid-90s. 1 year, but shortly after the development of the MAP process in 2005, we undertook that process for the IPLAN. We rebranded our process in 2005 and called it WePlan, and used that again. Used MAP as the planning model. So what are the challenges in conducting MAP and applying MAP to a community health improvement process? What did we experience in 2005? Well, in 2005, MAP was a relatively new process. And so among the challenges first was the recognition of what a public health system is. Cook County Department of Public Health is the health department for suburban Cook County. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Cook County is the county which contains the city of Chicago, but we're not the health department for the city of Chicago. But in terms of understanding the concept of a public health system, I'm bringing the partners together. You know, could we even say that there was a public health system? Geopolitically, Cook County is very complex. We have 125 communities in an area of 700 square miles, which is a broad area, three times the size of Chicago's area, although we have a similar population. We have overlaid over that, we have 30 townships, and then also unincorporated areas where we have direct jurisdiction. To add to that complexity, we've divided our region into four districts, which are very distinct. Our south and west regions tend to have more health disparities, and so we have socioeconomic variation as well as population distribution variation in terms of minority populations and at-risk populations. And if that wasn't enough, we also have four other state-certified health departments within suburban Cook County, which are on equal footing with us in terms of as far as the state health department's concerned, their municipal health departments. So we have the majority of the jurisdiction, but it also adds for complexity in terms of a system. Each of those health departments also conducts a community health assessment every 5 years and is also required to assess their system. And so their system is our system, but it's a separate system. So do we have a system, is the question. In addition, there are multiple organizations within the agency. I mean, we're a suburban and urban area. Cook County Health Department is part of the Cook County Health and Hospital System, which includes four hospitals as well as various clinics, both located in the city of Chicago and the suburbs. And actually, most of those are located in the city of Chicago outside of our jurisdiction, but we have to be cognizant of that as part of the system. There are 23 acute care hospitals, 130 school districts, 700 schools, many other social service and faith organizations, all of whom were unaware of or basically had limited knowledge that they were part of a public health system. and that we were leading that public health system. So it was really trying to communicate that back in 2005, which is difficult. In addition, we're not the only planning folks on the map. There are multiple planning agencies conducting planning. Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning is a regional planning agency which does urban planning and mostly land use and transportation, but also has a lot of the data. And so some of the data that they use are the same data that we use, and are we duplicating efforts in those planning efforts? It's going to be interesting with the new requirements for hospitals. How do we not duplicate efforts and create 23 sets of community health assessment plans in our jurisdiction in addition to our own MAP process? So previous I-plans, based on APEX, focused on problems and not systems. Actually, what was codified into the requirement for I-plan is that we identify three health problems. So we still have to make that requirement. MAP asks us to focus on health system health priorities or strategic priorities. And so we have to, in our processes, kind of reconcile that. The other issue is that there's a lack of funding for implementation, and so the process in and of itself is not necessarily, while it's ingrained in the system, it's not necessarily incorporated into the funding streams. Many of our systems require or are funded through categorical grants, and so the priorities aren't necessarily aligned, which means when in dealing with program managers, both internal and external to the agency, it can be a challenge to help them to see how this relates to their work. In addition, MAP was a new process in 2005. Our planning team, most of whom were part of this round's planning team as well, were new to the process, and so we followed the method fairly close to the book. We kind of used the cookbook approach in terms of applying MAP, applying what we knew from the previous two processes in terms of and just our experience, but. Especially in relation to the local public health system assessment, we pretty much followed the way it was written. As I said, the participants didn't have a total understanding of what the public health system was in the process. In bringing folks together, we didn't have a common language in terms of public health system. We had talked to them minimally about essential services over the years, but again, that concept was new, and so basically we spent quite a bit of time trying to make sure everyone was aware, and some folks got it. The preparedness people came, and they were there for a while, and then they left, for the most part, because again, they have to see their role in the system. So really trying to develop a common language about systems. In addition, it wasn't quite clear, again, if we don't have a system, can we have a vision in our plan for the system? So it was the visioning piece in that process, a vision for the plan or a vision for the system. And so it wasn't quite clear in terms of when we were formulating it. We spent some time talking about a vision, but again, without this vision really being a system vision, what ends up happening is the plan becomes the plan for the health department and not the plan for the public health system. And so we need to make sure that we build ownership through visioning that all members of the health system, public health system, can feel a part of. In addition, in 2005, the local public health system performance assessment, there were a number of things. The system tool was very detailed. There were over 300 measures. As Teresa mentioned, there was a lot of voting, and those of you who've been through it, there's a lot of voting. As a result, we had loss of participants. We basically began with the local public health. We did some visioning, but then we began with the local public health system assessment on the first day. And we had the following meeting, we lost about half of our participants, mainly because of the process. We had a trained facilitator going through the process, but the voting was potentially problematic. Another issue impacted our process was the lack of information on measures. We went into the process following the tool and asking questions. Again, we have people who are not totally familiar with the system. We had not done a lot of data collection at that time beforehand, and so there wasn't a good sense, sense of what the system was doing. So a lot of the information was gathered from key informants who were in the room at the time or people who knew people, and so whatever information they could gather from their experience. And so it puts into question the reliability of the results in terms of are the results influenced by the most knowledgeable person in the room, especially we're using voting, as you see here. I'm the guy way in the back there, raising up the cards with the voting. While that's an expedient way to do it, in some cases we recognize that people would vote or wait or hesitate to vote to see what the communicable disease director was voting in terms of essential service one, and then go along with the process. So it represented a potential problem as an epidemiologist, some bias in the data, and so we were concerned about that, but we slogged through the process. And finally, as I said, there was just strictly voting fatigue. By the end, when we were in the last essential services, people were just voting to vote and get through the process. It was kind of like if I raise my card faster, they'll get us out of here. So again, the quality of the discussion shortened. And so those things were visible. They're kind of anecdotal, but they're visible in the process. And so approaching this year's process, we were very cognizant of those issues. The other things are some other system issues which existed then and in some ways still exist today in some form or fashion. It's a lack of internal coordination across units. Many of our units, as I said before, our activities are funded by categorical grants. While there's some collaboration between units, there's really not a systems approach to addressing issues. The STD people focus on STDs, and the chronic disease people focus on chronic disease, and the MCH people focus on MCH. And there's some cross-disciplinary issues, but not all the time. And so in order to foster that systems approach, we need a change. In addition, there's a lack of external coordination across sectors as well. Oftentimes, there's multiple planning efforts across those sectors, there's not always a look at what's going on in terms of opportunities for synergy and to try and reduce the duplication. We feel that there's also a lack of external value or acknowledgement. In general, we don't have a common understanding of the role of a local health department. We have an understanding of that, but other partners don't always have that a good vision of what a local health department is or does. Most folks, most agencies, view us as doing what is traditionally considered public health, outbreak investigation, environmental health, some stuff with clinics, mostly things like family planning and WIC, which are all good things, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but we know that our role in public health, especially in relation to the national performance standards and essential services, is broader than that, and it's also there's a shift in terms of because of funding and other issues towards us taking a more leadership role in terms of systems, bringing community and resources together in order to address complex health problems. As we know, health problems are complex. While we still have infectious disease around, and we can treat those with vaccines and antibiotics for the most part, other health problems are more complex and require more complex solutions. Chronic diseases are multifactorial, and so we need to focus not only on behavior change alone, but on social determinants and focus on how do we improve environments and change systems and policies. And so we have to develop systems and processes to communicate that, as well as a general lack or limited experience in evaluation and measurement of the outcomes and communicating those outcomes to the public to demonstrate the value of public health. We do our programs and do a fine job on them, but we don't always evaluate, and then we have the results. We don't always shout them from the rooftops and let people know how this has helped improve things. Again, trying to make the case for prevention. And finally, as we move more from direct service activities, as I said before, to assurance functions, really assuring people have access to health, to care, as well as live in environments that promote health, we need to be able to communicate that shift in public health focus. And for that, we need a change in our systems approach. So in approaching We Plan 2015, our planning group sat down and over a period of several months, and conceptually this developed over time, but we came up with a conceptual model of what our process would look like. And essentially, the main thing was to plan for action from the beginning, begin with the end in mind, and begin thinking about where we wanted to go as conceptually for implementation. And you see there in the top, those dots across the top, the three in the box on the left are the requirement for our I-plan. We're required to identify three health issues But we wanted a process that could incorporate more than just that. Teresa talked about that, you know, we're required to do some mandated services. Well, those could potentially fit in this box as well. So we weren't putting anything aside. In previous processes, we always came up with a laundry list of health problems, and then what do we do with them? We promised people we'll do something about them. But part of this is we've tried to incorporate that into our model and process from a systems approach. And then down, we wanted to promote a public health systems approach focusing on the 10 essential services. So our vision was that interdisciplinary teams, both internal and external, and the internal ones are represented by the green box, and the blue box represents the external ones, cross-disciplinary teams to, again, address these health priorities, focus on the 10 essential services, and examine, you know, where we need, where these things align with essential services and where we can focus to improve those essential services that that are not being performed adequately. And then really looking at a system level approach where internal and external cross-disciplinary teams mesh to address the health problems from both inside and outside the health department as a system. So one of the changes we planned was in terms of development of our coalition. And as Deb mentioned, you want to have a broad coalition. We surveyed our managers to identify potential participants and asked each of them to provide them with names. And we divided those up into sectors and invited folks based on sector participation rather than program expertise. So we wanted to make sure we had a broad swatch of the public health system as opposed to any specific function or knowledge base, per se. In addition, one key aspect was we had a major issue in the previous process with some participation. We wanted to foster participation throughout the process and try to keep people engaged because the only way we could get people to function in or be engaged for implementation, it was to keep them along in the process. And so we hosted two webinars. We changed the meeting format. Instead of having five meetings, we boiled down the meetings to three in-person meetings and two webinars to reserve the in-person meetings for discussion and action planning and vision. The in-person meetings were meant to be more interactive, less didactic. The didactic sessions were really the intro in terms of what is public health, what is the public health system, what is MAP. We did a webinar on that. And then we also presented all of our health status data via a webinar, which is basically looking at lots of tables and graphs. And so it was much more conducive to the sessions evolving where we wanted feedback and interaction. We had extended sessions and conversations on vision and mission of the system, trying to assure that we had buy-in and a shared sense of understanding of what we meant by the public health system and what we wanted our region to look like as a result of activities working together in the plan. We also wanted to build our support for implementation by engaging people early in the process. We also changed our method for local public health system assessment. In the past process, it took 2.5 meetings to complete the local public health system assessment and going through all 10 of the essential services. We sought to complete this in one meeting. We scheduled the sessions around the local public health system, and later we didn't start off with this. We actually began with the community themes and strengths and visioning pieces, again, trying to make sure we gathered community input and engaged folks in terms of collecting their opinions about what they thought the issues and strengths were in the system and in the community. And then we got into the nitty-gritty of the local public health system. And then we spent one meeting entirely focused on action planning. In the previous process, we did some high-level planning, but really in this process, we actually came up with a conceptual model with priority strategies, and then took those priority strategies and had the groups work to apply those strategies to the health problems we had identified in developing some draft action plans. So related to the local public health system assessment, our goals were to foster participation and discussion, increasing the evidence of the essential service status, really getting better data on whether the essential services were being performed or not, and keep the voting independent. No cheating from your neighbor in terms of how to vote on these standards. So for the developed a pre-conference survey where we examined only the first level model standards. We didn't delve down lower into some of those lower level standards and activities, but asked folks about those first level model standards under each essential service. We asked managers to identify experts in each essential service, and we selected folks both internal and external to the health department. We sent the survey to internal and external key informants and compiled those results for each essential service and model standard, and then sent those out ahead of time to our community planning committee for review and for preparation for the meeting. So for each model standard, we asked three questions, and this was based on a tool that we identified from Greenwich, Connecticut. The three questions were: what examples of this activity being accomplished in suburban Cook County? Which agencies or groups perform this? And what are the gaps in provision or accomplishment of this activity? And as you can see along the left side, we have the three model standards for Central Service 1. And we sent this tool out, again, to the key informants and collected the data. Our method at our meeting process was that we selectively divided our community planning committee of about 50 folks into groups of 5 to 8 for each essential service. We provided copies of the pre-conference survey results. We had sent those out ahead of time, but we also felt that they were essential to be used as reference in the meeting. And we asked them to review those results in the small group and discuss what was going on around this essential service to identify the three top issues related to the survey questions. Following that initial discussion, group leader was then identified and led a larger facilitated discussion, presenting the results of their discussion to the much larger entire community planning committee. So collectively, everyone had a sense of what the consensus was on the essential service prior to voting. And then we proceeded to voting. Our method for voting, again, was participants were asked to vote using keypads. We had access to keypad technology, which allowed a couple things. It allowed anonymous, independent voting, so it didn't matter if you're sitting next to the communicable disease director, you couldn't find out what they were voting on Essential Service 1. It also allowed for quick compilation of the data and visual display of the data on the screen, so we were able to get instantaneous feedback. And we asked them for each essential service only two questions. Overall, to what degree is the local public health system providing this service? And we had a 5-point rating scale, which is similar to the national tool. I think this is the old coding, but it essentially is the same point distribution. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, we asked them to prioritize this in terms of the essential service, each essential service for the local public health system. So this is an example of the results that would come from that question. This is our actual results from essential service number 6. And so the advantages here were that we had no waiting for results. We had instant visual representation, which allowed us to not spend time speculating about what the results were. We could also quantify the results relatively easily. We didn't have to have so many counting cards. The results were able to be discussed immediately and basically reach consensus on what we wanted to say about the system's provision of this essential service. So what is the impact? Well, the impact of these changes were that in terms of action planning, we're really able to focus on public health system approaches to health issues in the Cook County Health Department. And in our region. Essentially, we were able to achieve consensus not only on health problems, which were required for the IPLAN process, but on consensus priority strategies versus program approaches. We came up with four priority strategies: health education, health promotion, policy and systems change, advocacy and constituency building, and coordination. And the advantage of this is that regardless of what the health problem is, these approaches could then be applied across any health problems. So we had our priority strategies. Look, if you recall our original conceptual model, no matter what those little bullets were across the top, we could then apply these, or at least look to apply some of these approaches across the board. The other advantages, I think I skipped a slide. Let me just The committee members had a better understanding of the public health system. We were allowed for a more extensive discussion on public health system-related issues, and discussions were system-oriented. We basically, all of us agreed that from 2005 to 2010, we felt that the community participants and partners really had a better sense of what a public health system is or what we mean by public health system. So that was a major advantage, not necessarily related to us, but the language is seeping into the culture in some ways. And so it was much easier to have system-oriented discussions and system-focused strategies where interplay between agencies is necessary. There was less time voting, again, so more time for discussion. We only had 20 votes, which allowed us to, again, have better data for facilitated discussions and a better sense of inclusion and being heard. We were able to complete things in one session, so we didn't have everyone who was there was there for the entire session and rating of all 10 essential services. So we didn't have variability in terms of who was present for the voting, essentially. And so we are able to get that in one sitting. And then the clicker technology allowed for visual results, which, again, fostered consensus and discussion. So our conceptual model for implementation, again, remember we began by looking at implementation at the beginning. Our conceptual model incorporated those four strategies you see over on the right under priority strategies into a model which could then incorporate both our WePlan priorities through an advisory committee to implement essentially any health strategic health issue that may arise in the department or in the region. And so it really sets up a framework for future action planning, because we're not focused solely on deciding what we're going to do, but we've got a framework for applying those strategies across the board and across the spectrum of public health problems. The other development in terms of this process was our WePlan 2015 was reviewed and approved by our governing boards, the Cook County Health and Hospital System Board and the Cook County Board of Commissioners, and the Illinois Department of Public Health recertified us as a health department. This is part of the normal process, so that's not too earth-shattering. But what was more critical, and as a person who's been through this process four times now, that the results of this process, essentially, was adopted into the Cook County Department of Public Strategic Plan as one of four priorities. So we had strategic alignment of the health department's direction as well as our community health improvement plan. And this was in part due to an improved understanding of how we have to function as a system and how we have to take unified approaches and not operate in silos and have separate health planning initiatives off on the side. Advantages that our leadership, and we have leadership and executive support for both the plan and the process, which is really essential to, and the literature says is really essential to the success of any planning effort, as well as staff are being mobilized for the plan implementation as part of our strategic plan implementation. So. We really believe that we have a strong chance of really seeing a much broader impact in terms of our planning process this time around. In addition, the strategic plan is being aligned with national voluntary accreditation, so that it's kind of a perfect storm kind of thing in terms of we've got all these things happening, national voluntary accreditation rolling out, and so we really have to approach all these things from a systems perspective and align all these different initiatives, so we're not running it cross purposes and looking at these as different approaches. So what are the lessons learned? The lessons learned are, first, don't sacrifice product for process. We examined what we accomplished with MAP in 2005 and what some of the issues were, and really chose to tweak that process as much as we could to address the deficits we saw. So fitting MAP to your planning process is critical in the context. Leadership support always makes things easier and fosters action. In the past processes, we had leadership support, but not the leadership of the entire agency, per se. And so having buy-in from those folks, as well as incorporation into an agency strategic plan, helps to assure plan implementation is much more likely to proceed. It was important to keep systems and strategic thinking throughout the process and not focus solely on health problems or problem orientation. With changes in funding streams and program focuses, it's important to really think at a broad strategic level, in addition in lining up with our focus on systems and environment and policy functions, it's important for us to keep those the perspective on systems. It's also important for us to, the key thing was organization for implementation before we began the process. We had a vision of where we wanted to go and how we wanted to assure that we were going to have implementation or be able to implement. In looking at the research, there weren't a lot of models in terms of what goes on in terms of implementation beyond the plan. It kind of drops off after you get the plan written, which is a classic strategic planning move. And so we really tried to build it so that we can have a framework for implementation. In terms of quality improvement, what would we do different? We'd allow more time for data collection and analysis. Again, you know, the system is more aware that it exists, but it's not there yet. And so really is no system. There's no surveillance system for public health performance across the system. So how are we going to monitor that so that we don't have to do Herculean efforts at data collection about what's going on in the public health system every 5 years? Test technology before you start. That's just a general caveat. We had webinars, and we had a little glitch, but again, using new technology, potentially you could sideline your process if you have a major glitch and lose people. And again, if you're trying to get participation, if you lose people, you know, first impressions are always a problem, and so it's important to make sure you can do the best you can. Keep participations engaged while finalizing the plan. In the last 9 months, while we've been finalizing our plan and completing our strategic plan, we've been keeping in touch with our community planning committee, but we have to come up with a better process for keeping people engaged. We had them all ramped up for this process, and now we got to get them ramped up again. And how do we, you know, get out of the valley, so to speak, and keep things at a high level of interest and experience and interest? And then the last thing is voting on each the first level model standards may be of value. So we only voted on the essential service. We may want to modify that and vote on the first level model standard just to get a little bit more granularity in the local public health system, which is in line with version 3 of the local public health system assessment tool. I was able to be part of the field test for the tool, and it is much improved and much more manageable, and it does focus a lot more on discussion among the system partners and less on the voting. And so but I think even though we backed off from that to essential service, I would advocate for including a little bit more granularity to be able to, again, target those initiatives in terms of where do we want to make improvement and get a little bit more data. And as an FB person, a little more data is always a good thing. So I thank you.